there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we're there. We got to probably maybe even more than Werewolf Santa, your most anticipated movie.
Quite possibly.
Since we started doing this cursed show, since Santa took one look at us and raised his finger and said, "You are cursed to forever talk about holiday horror movies."
Yeah, I didn't take it seriously at the time, but I'm beginning to think the curse might be real.
The curse is real, and we're doing it, folks. We're finally talking about it. If you don't listen to stocking stuffers, which one? Good on you.
Why
but two,
you?
What are you doing? this is your first time hearing it, I guess, other than looking at the title of the show. This week, we're talking about Triple Xmas. You ready to deck the halls, Jeff?
Yes, but only if you refer to me as my proper name, Attila the Hung, for the rest of this episode.
All right, Attila. Released December 8th, 2023. Hey.
Right in there.
Right in
there.
Perfect. Got it.
Like so many other things, the movie did this well.
Got it in one. Written and directed by James Dean. Who has
not that one.
Who has another movie coming out, which is a giallo-style like tribute movie called My Blade is Your Salvation, which recently finished Indiegogo backing, which this movie was also Indiegogo'd.
Cool.
Also written by Louis Otero. Drew Marvick plays Santa, and we last saw him as Santa's evil twin in 13 Sleighs Till Xmas, way back on like episode 3 of the podcast. Oh, yeah.
Long time ago.
And we will see him again in Axmas.
Yes.
Axmas 2.
Yes.
And some spooktacular for The Barn Part 2.
Ooh.
And he also directed part of Dean of the Dead Presents Holiday Horrors.
Yes.
You can also find him on TikTok and I believe other parts of social media. Drew Cooks, where he does cooking recipes or cooking videos.
Nice.
And one time I posted something about like, this is my head from a recent horror movie shoot. And I went and looked him up and I went, holy shit, we've got like 4 movies with this dude.
Cool. It's always good to see people continue to work in the space.
The Mangled Dick Expert returns, Felissa Rose herself, as Lana Luscious, and we will see her again in lots of things.
Yes.
Felissa Rose gets work. Let's just put it that way.
She's looking at all kinds of dicks and all kinds of different movies.
All kinds of mangled dicks. Morgan Thompson Milam plays Christy Cream. Jonathan May is Black Mamba. Dolly Lee is Julie Treats. Chris Rupert is Johnny Duckett.
Yes.
Jessa Jupiter Flux is Pearl, and we will see her again in Curtains for Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Mariana Garcia Montez plays Sarah. Mm-hmm. Joe Hammerstone is the elf.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
Katie Navi McAllister plays Angel Love. Sean Scott is Jack Rabbit. Lindsay Washburn, who I maybe went to college with, is nice. Mrs. Claus.
Nice.
I was looking at her IMDb and I went, oh, she's from Iowa. Like, we're from Iowa. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've got like one connection. Maybe like my buddy Collier, who does movie effects and stuff. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe like Collier's done a movie with her. And like 15 friends in common. And it's like all people I went to college with. And I was like, and then I like looked again and it was like something I think like mentioned like graduation the same year I graduated, and I went, did I have a class with this person?
Jay, is there anything you want to tell us about Santa's motives for killing all these people?
We could have like I'm like potentially could have had a class with someone who also enjoys horror movies and stuff. She, apparently she does lots of like online horror content and stuff like
Turns
that.
Turns out she hates it. She just does it for the picture.
Newt Wallen is George. Niv Avena is Kitty Purrs. Madeline Page is Foxy. Joey Mann plays Mike. Kyle Shute plays Jeff's favorite character.
Attila the Hung.
Attila the Hung. Yes.
I instantly looked up who that was.
Tuffy Brandon is nightclub manager. Anna Nicolette is Nikki. Anson Days is Sub One from Dommy Mommy, the short film.
Yes.
And we will see him again in Mistletoe Massacre. Rob Abel is Sub Two. Kurt Abakan plays Ken Falcone. Eddie Blake is Leo. Erica Dyer is delivery person, and we will see again in Silent Night, Bloody Night 3, and Yule Log. Rudy Ledbetter is newscaster. Nudecaster would also work for this movie.
Nudecaster.
And is in Yule Log.
See where Jay's mind's at.
Kyle A. Lee is Big Fred. Greasy Mendez plays Kara. Tony Nuge, I think. Boy, my handwriting sucks today.
The Nuge
is Uber driver. Jason Adam Rasmussen plays Greg. This movie was filmed in St. Louis.
Yes, which we'll get to later, Jay.
IMDb has the budget at $85K, but we know that it was at least $35K based off of Indiegogo.
Yep.
And $45 of that was mine. Ooh. As you can see on the IMDb page, which has me listed as like a special thanks.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Jay, for making this movie happen.
Which I guess is my personal experience. I also got a DVD copy of this movie.
Nice. Everyone should be so lucky.
Jeff, I assume your personal experience was hearing that there was a movie coming out called Triple Xmas.
Yes, and then eagerly anticipating when we would finally be able to do it on here.
Jeff was edging his way towards Triple Xmas.
As horror for the holidays, resident pervert, you know me.
Where to watch? YouTube, yes. of all places.
And for free, even.
I know, fantastic. Monster Kid Productions, I believe, is James Dean's company, production company. So, yeah, go out to their YouTube and check it out there. Anything else? Are you ready to get started?
Nope, I'm ready to get into this one.
All right. Santa arrives home, and Mrs. Claus is getting ready to bring him some milk and cookies. They're making preparations for Christmas Eve. Mrs. Claus goes to turn in for the night after trying to convince Santa to come upstairs with her. But Santa instead would rather sit downstairs.
I have to watch my tapes.
And watch his tapes. We then get a very funny comedic scene of Santa just like shoveling a cookie straight into his mouth. And then sits back to enjoy his tapes. Jeff, some of his tapes include Psycho Ape.
Yes.
Pool Party Massacre.
Yes.
And most importantly, WNUF Halloween Special.
Yes. Those are some good tapes. Yeah. <Jay. laughs>
I mean, Santa knows ball if he's got WNUF as one of his tapes. When a strange whispering starts and Santa pulls out a handwritten tape with a handwritten label for It's a Wonderful Life. The whispering gets louder and Santa returns to his plate to eat another cookie. He puts the tape in as Santa Claus Conquers the Martians starts up. We then cut to Duckett Productions, where Johnny Duckett is putting the finishing touch on his masterpiece movie. Title card, Triple Xmas.
I just wrote a fucking masterpiece.
And we get our credits over Christmas scenes that slowly become like blood splattered and stuff like that.
Yes, indeed.
Ken Falcone, who I believe is like a porno music producer based off of what I kind of gleaned from the movie.
From what I was able to tell.
Is getting into a ride share and complains that the driver is listening to Christmas music at Christmas time.
Yes. Real son of a bitch.
He gets a phone call from Nikki, who was one of Johnny's employees, I guess, or one of the actors on Johnny's set, who's telling him to come over. Mm-hmm. And Ken seems really interested. Seems to have some kind of interest in Nikki more than just filming scenes.
I believe his exact words are, "I can't wait to pound that chocolate cake, Jay." I believe that's what he says.
They arrive at their destination, and when Ken leaves, the driver just turns Christmas music back on.
As he should. You know what? If it's Christmas time and somebody's playing Christmas music, maybe just shut up and let them play their Christmas music.
Ken arrives at the house with Nikki. And
how many swinging dicks we got at this party, Jay? I thought it was going to be just you and me.
And two other guys, one of which is Fred. I don't know what the name of the other guy was. Greg the name of the other guy.
That's right.
And they all start to drink when Mike, who works on the set, shows up and basically asks, why are you partying at Johnny's house? And Nikki's like, you're not going to tell him, are you? And they convince Mike to start drinking and party with them. And then they all start taking coke.
Yes, indeed.
Mike agrees to keep quiet. As they're taking the coke, Dance of the Sugar Cum Fairies.
Yes, Jay, we know where your head is at.
Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies starts to play. Mike then leaves, and Ken and Nikki go someplace more private so he can play music for her.
Oh yeah, I wrote you a song.
Nikki doesn't seem interested. Big Fred goes to get a beer from the garage when Santa arrives holding a bloody hammer and attacks Fred with it after Fred asks, are you here to party? And then Santa just wails on him with the hammer for a bit.
Excellent.
Greg walks around looking for Fred, and then Santa just shows up, grabs a knife out of the butcher's block or out of the knife block, and just throws it through his skull.
Yes, yes.
While upstairs, Ken is playing Nikki this music. Oh, and
speaker quality is terrible, Jay. Let me go get your other speaker and get the full effect.
So Nikki goes downstairs to get the speaker and then gets strangled by Christmas lights from Santa.
Yes.
As her body falls to the ground, and like a big band version of Jingle Bells starts to play. Ken then comes downstairs to check on her. Or see what the sound was, finds the bodies, and then Santa pops up behind him and crushes his skull with his bare hands.
Yes, he does.
We cut to Krispy Kreme leaving a strip club because the owner, Tom, refuses to do anything about the clientele touching her. And if I learned anything from Arrested Development, it's no touching.
Hey, he only touched it a little bit, Jay, and he's a really good customer. Everybody knows if you want to touch strippers, you have to pay for the VIP dances.
When Tom tries to stop her, Tom's the owner, she breaks his nose and then kicks him in the dick and then drives away, but grabs her friend Kitty Purrs first. And when she asks where they're going, Christy says to make some bad choices and places a phone call. We cut to Black Mamba and Pearl fucking post-coitus. They go downstairs when Johnny Ducats calls. Pearl wants to take the gig, but Mamba wants to get out of the business, but reluctantly agrees to go along with her and hear him out.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. One last job.
We cut to Jackrabbit, who's fucking Foxy.
Yes.
And he answers the phone while they're doing it.
Well, first he looks at himself in the mirror while they're doing it.
And he's constantly...
Then he flips her around. And then
she's like writing him, and instead he's like looking at his muscles, flexing and looking at himself. And he says, while he's fucking Foxy, he literally goes, I'll jump in the car right now.
Yeah.
And she looks really annoyed.
Yep.
Johnny is shooting a scene with two girls dressed as elves when Sarah, an assistant, brings him coffee and he ridicules her for it.
Yes.
We'll have that exact quote later. I really thought Sarah was going to live through the whole movie. Yep. I was like, oh, is this our final girl? Nope, she sure isn't.
Well, I don't know, Jay, but so far this movie's got me about as soft as a chinchilla's nutsack.
Everyone starts to arrive as on set. And Pearl is jealous that Christy and Mamba are friends from a previous shoot.
Yes.
Christy really knows how to take some inches.
Yes, I do remember that. And then Pearl's like, well, I've taken plenty, too.
And Christy gives her this look like, good for you. They all meet and have like a production meeting about how this isn't just a couple of scenes, but a full length Christmas porno that is going to jumpstart a whole holiday cinematic universe.
Wow, Jay, this sounds like some A24 shit. Actual line, by the way.
And people are like ridiculing Johnny for all sorts of like weird stuff in the movie. And it's gonna, what's the Leprechaun pussy party.
Oh, yeah. A pussy for St. Patty's Day. That's the universe hinges on that, Jay. If that doesn't make money, then we're just going to have to cancel the rest of this universe.
If I'm going to have to fuck a leprechaun, I'm going to double my rates.
Yes. As you should. It's very dangerous interacting with a leprechaun if a leprechaun has taught me anything.
They're getting ready to shoot a scene with Christy, Angel, Jack, and Mamba when someone mentions that Lana and Attila the Hung are on their way, and Christy gets upset because Attila is a known piece of shit. Christy storms off to her room with Kitty, and Mamba comes in to talk to her and convinces her to stay and says that he has her back and he'll keep her safe.
Mamba smooths things over, and it's painfully obvious that he's actually in love with her and not Pearl.
They film a scene, and we've got some wild moments of this scene, my favorite of which is Jack feeding Mamba a cookie while they are Eiffel Towering one of the girls. Yes. You just watch Jack reach over, he's just like, puts a cookie in Mamba's mouth.
My favorite is they're doing a wide shot, and they're still all fucking on the couch in the background, and one of the girls is like, oh, Jackrabbit, and he's like, are you talking to me? No, the other Jackrabbit.
Also, like, everybody is saying, like, tons of, like, Christmas puns.
Yeah.
And Johnny's getting really pissed off because he thinks this is going to be serious. Stop ad-libbing.
No improvising.
What does he think this is going to be? Some kind of
it's going to be an indie awards darling.
I was going to say, is this like, does he think this is going to be like his Emmanuel in Space? It's kind of artsy, but also a porno.
Jay, we're going for one of those A24 movies. You know, famous production company A24.
They are going to film the cum shots at the end, and then we get a great transition of Mamba acting like he's about to come, and then it cuts to someone like plopping some ranch down on
craft services.
At craft services.
There we go. Yes.
I thought that was maybe one of my favorite moments of the whole movie. I got a big laugh out of that one.
Oh, my favorite move. My favorite's very close to the end, Jay. I think you probably know what it is.
Foxy goes outside and it's snowing. She's going to call her mom for Christmas while she's at a porno shoot,
I guess.
When Santa appears behind her and says, "You've been naughty, Foxy." And she says, "Who the hell are you?" And Santa responds, "Don't tell me you don't believe." And then he hits her in the head with a snow shovel and then decapitates her with the snow shovel as Silent Night starts to play.
Excellent. Excellent.
Kitty, Pearl, Christy, Mamba, and Jack are filming a scene downstairs, and Angel and Julie go upstairs to take a bath together. The power starts cutting out and coming back on.
Don't stop.
When Santa appears behind George and punches a hole through his face.
He does indeed.
Deck the Hall starts to play as blood splatters all of the actors. He then holds Mike up by the throat and snaps his neck. Santa then grabs a fireplace poker and stabs Pearl, who is currently riding Jack.
Yes.
Runs her through and then stabs Jack with the fireplace poker as well. And then says, "Now that's what I call double penetration."
Joking Psycho Santa is definitely one of the highlights of this movie.
Everyone kind of scatters. Christy and Kitty run upstairs, but there's a monstrous elf upstairs in their room, so they run away from him.
That elf, I think, is the only thing in this movie that is genuinely creepy.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's terrifying. He's got, like, this mouth full of fangs, and he's constantly, like, skittering around on the floor and stuff.
Ugh. Gross.
Santa, still hearing the whispers, ignores Johnny to go grab some cookies.
Much like the vampire must count anything you put in front of him, Jay. Santa must eat any cookies you put in front of him.
Yep. And then Johnny goes to, like, grab some car keys and, like, the jingling, like, Santa, like, looks up, and then he just goes to the fridge and starts drinking milk instead. And the whispers slowly stop again.
Yes, drinking milk out of the fridge is something that only Santa does, Jay. Definitely not me.
Santa then has a vision of him covered in blood in his house, finding a hammer and running upstairs to find Mrs. Claus with half of her face caved in.
Oh, no.
Johnny runs into Mamba, who is concerned about everyone getting out, but Johnny is just going to flee and get into a car by himself. Sarah gets in a car to leave and is startled as Lana and Attila the Hung arrive on set with some crew members.
The hell are you guys on?
Julie and Angel are still in the bath when Santa bursts in with a ho ho, yep. And then Mama pops up and says, "Hold up, motherfucker!" Mm-hmm. And runs Santa through with a giant candy cane, like yardstake, that causes the girls to get sprayed with blood. Santa just pulls the candy cane out and licks his own blood, saying, "Tastes like peppermint." Mm. Santa then stabs Angel with it and says, Every time you kill a whore, an angel gets its wings, which is a pretty good joke.
Yes.
Because her name's Angel. And then it ventriloquists Angel's mouth to say, "How's that for holiday cheer?"
Gotta love Psycho Santa.
As Mamba and Julie run off.
Run!
And then Santa just continues to laugh maniacally. Outside, Attila, Lana, and some crew are able to convince Sarah to go back inside. Johnny tries to alert them, but the elf pops up and stabs Johnny in the asshole with a candy cane. Ouch. And he punches the elf and runs off.
Yes.
Mamba, Christy, and Kitty go to leave when Attila and the rest of the crew barge in. Attila is pissed that it looks like a low-budget, B-rated horror movie in here.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming them for buying Johnny the Criterion Channel ever since he's thought he's some big auteur director.
Yes. I mean, Attila's pretty much calling it right here.
And he doesn't believe Lana goes to leave, sees the elf, and then Attila just doesn't believe her and goes to leave when the elf tackles him to the ground and bites his dick off. And Felissa Rose, and knows a thing or two about mangled dicks, as Lana Luscious screams.
Yes.
Santa pops back up and then says, "Now that's ridiculous."
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, now back inside for some reason, tries to lure Santa to some more cookies. Santa stabs his hand to a countertop with a knife and tells him he's been a real naughty boy.
Indeed. And we'll find out why later.
Yep.
Also, I want to echo Lana because there's like three different basement sets for this movie. And when she's standing in one of them, she's like, "How many fucking basements does this place have?"
Mamba fights with the elf, but is overpowered by him. But instead of killing Mamba, the elf chases the girls.
Yes.
Kitty trips and feeling cornered, backs up into Santa, who grabs a pot of water that is boiling for some reason.
Oh yeah.
And dumps it on her, saying, "That's what I call a thirst trap, bitch." Yeah,
exactly. There you go.
And then we get some real gnarly effects as like her skin melts off and shit.
Yeah.
Johnny frees himself, knocks over a plate of cookies, which Santa then rushes to eat, and then Johnny stabs him repeatedly to no avail and then just runs off.
Yep.
Lana and Christy run past Attila's crew that have all been murdered. Off screen.
Of course, yes.
Back to Julie. She's getting dressed and finds a giant knife in like her luggage for some reason.
Yes.
Sarah comes in to hide, and they talk about getting out by climbing out of a window.
Yes.
to which Sarah's like, What kind of sitcom do you think this is? And Julie goes, Full House.
Sorry, I was just trying to lighten the mood.
Johnny grabs a shotgun from the back of his car.
Not on my set.
As Christy and Lana try to run out, but something grabs Lana and pulls her back inside as blood just splashes all over the window.
Yes.
And we just get Felissa Rose just pushing her face to the glass. And Christy runs back into Mamba.
Mamba.
Julie and Sarah have tried tying some sheets together to climb out the window when Santa and the elf just barge in. The elf tackles Julie and bites her shit off. Santa strangles Sarah, saying she was on the nice list until she started working for that naughty boy.
Indeed.
And snaps her neck.
Ouch.
Santa then pulls the elf off Julie and tells her that the reason he's doing this is because of what he took from him. Julie stabs Santa, who has his hand on top of the elf's head, through the hand and through the elf's skull, killing the elf.
Mm-hmm.
In the other room, Johnny says, "Hey, Santa, you jolly old cuck," which gets Santa's attention. A slow instrumental rendition of Silent Night starts to play as Julie finds a nail gun. Johnny tries to shoot Santa to no avail. Like, Santa just basically tanks a fucking shotgun blast.
Yep.
And then grabs the gun, saying, "I really wanted to save you for last," and blows a hole in Johnny's head. And we get this great scene of like blood slowly like leaking out of the back of Johnny's mangled skull.
Yes, we do. Some pretty good effects in this movie, I gotta say.
No, I think that was my absolute favorite, but I think there are some real solid effects. And I love the overuse of blood in, like, every scene.
Yes.
Christy and Mamba distract Santa with some more cookies, and Santa flashes back to his house again. He is watching the movie he recorded over it with a sex tape of Mrs. Claus and Johnny Ducats.
Anything you want, Mrs. C, turns to camera. I'm going to fuck you with my dick.
Santa comes to and starts shooting at Mamba and Christy, and then Julie tries shooting him with a nail gun, and he fires at her, missing both groups. Julie offers Santa some milk for his cookies, which calms him down, and Santa flashes back again to him murdering Mrs. Claus in her bed with the hammer, and then dabbing the blood off of her face with a cookie and eating it. Santa comes to, his foot nailed to the floor, and he pulls them out with his bare hands.
You know who wouldn't? You know, Jay, you wouldn't have been able to pull those nails out if you'd used the Midwest's own Milwaukee-branded nail gun instead of the inferior DeWalt nail gun they used in the movie.
Yeah.
Shoddy research, I
was going to say, the most unbelievable part of the whole movie is not using Milwaukee tools.
Oof. Major misstep.
Christy, Mamba, and Julie try to leave in a car in the garage, but the car won't start, and Santa is standing in front of them. Feels like a real callback to Dial Code Santa Claus when they're trying to flee in the car in kind of the same manner. Santa starts to approach them, but Julie and Christy just get out of the car and start fighting Santa and somehow overpower him and leave him laying on the garage floor as they drive away on a sunny day.
I think it's because of what Mamba said about him losing his powers at dawn. After that, he's just a regular guy.
That makes sense. I wasn't even thinking about that.
And that was also, my theory was the reason that the elf doesn't kill Mamba is because Mamba's the only one that's on the nice list.
Ooh, I like that idea, too.
Because he seems like the only nice person at this place.
I also had the thought that maybe Christy was on the nice list.
Yeah, that could be, too.
5 years later, the three of them are watching a news broadcast about what happened that night. Christy and Mamba are now a couple, and Julie is visiting because survivors should stick together. The doorbell rings, and a lady gives Mamba a gift, but won't say who it's from. Christy doesn't want to open it, but Mamba says, it's Christmas, and inside is a blood-covered cookie, and everybody screams.
Oh, boy.
Credits roll, end of movie.
Christy rightly says, who's delivering packages on Christmas Day? They weren't in a uniform.
I don't know, she wasn't in a uniform. End of movie. Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Thoughts before we jump into
the thoughts? Oh, the category. Movie's full of them, Jay. Lots of thoughts in here. Great. 10 out of 10, no notes. Exactly what it was supposed to be. It is like a porno quality horror parody of a killer Santa Claus movie. You get pretty much everything you would want from that kind of movie.
Where do you want to start with for our categories?
Let's just do the quotes. We've been quoting all over the place already.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh. Why do you want to work with this guy so much? Listen, okay, he may be annoying, but he knows how people want to see people fuck. That's the sales pitch for Johnny Ducat.
I've got a big friend offers Mike some coke to stick around. Nah, coke's not really my thing. Well, aren't you shooting with Johnny all week? Do a bump, take a shot. You'll be glad you did. Trust me. Once you're in the trenches with the most obnoxious man in porn, you'll understand why.
Yes. Following up on that, I'm all amped up from the coke and music. And the music is like the most mild thing. It's obviously all the coke.
When Ken Falcone's on his way to the party, you said Jonathan just left, right? Well, then we are golden, sweet cheeks. And speaking of cheeks, I can't wait to clap that juicy chocolate cake.
Yep.
And then Ken Falcone looks over as his rideshare driver smiles at him and nods and then tries to get him to give him some nucks. And he just like glares at him. Yes. I loved the rideshare driver.
It's so great. This is a double quote here from when Johnny is filming the first scene that he's doing for this movie with the two women at the beginning. And he's like, come on, ladies, my dick is softer than a chinchilla's nutsack.
I had that one.
Step it up a little. And then his assistant brings him the coffee. And he's like, this has more in common with my morning shit than coffee. And then she's like, super quiet. That's not healthy.
when Christy is pissed off at Tom, the owner of the strip club. You Bill Cosby looking motherfucker. I quit. I am so tired and sick of this club, the nasty clientele, and your shitty watered down drinks. Fuck you. And then punches him in the face, breaking him his nose, and then kicks him in the dick.
Yes. Is this a union production? I'm still in SAG until the end of the year. Oh, really? You're in SAG? Yep, you're looking at scared patron number 3 in Michael Bay's last piece of shit. That felt very Mike Lombardo to me.
Well, I do believe Mike is friends with with James Dean, so... Black Mamba goes, after he and Pearl are done fucking, before they've gotten the phone call from Johnny, Black Mamba go, Pearl kind of like sits up on the kitchen counter, and Mamba goes, you know I cook there, right? And Pearl goes, baby, we know your cooking could use a little extra seasoning, and weren't you just munching there away a few minutes ago?
Yes. Another two-parter. It's a holiday cinematic universe. Well, how many are you gonna make? I don't know. It depends on how pussy for St. Paddy's Day does. And then, of course, Jack says, well, that's some A24 shit, Johnny.
When Mamba arrives on set, Jack's already there. Mamba goes, how you been, Jackie? And Jack goes, it did get a little weird with my mother after that incest stuff, but you know how it is.
Well, Attila the Hung and Lana will be here later. Attila the Hung, known abuser and all-around piece of shit, is producing this movie? Yeah, that's him.
It's called an origin story. That was Johnny. Then Christy goes, an origin story? It's not fucking Batman.
Why are you back? You bring me the telephoto lens. Why don't you just get closer? No, no. I was in the splash zone once. It was like being front row at a Gallagher show.
Just when the killing starts, just about every Santa line is gold. Is that
of course my favorite line, the line that made me almost die and I knew this movie was a 10 out of 10 was when Santa sees the tape. Whatever you want, Mrs. C, turns to camera. I'm going to have sex with you with my dick.
I'm going to have sex with you with my dick. Reminded me of Paul Rudd in Wanderlust. Like, yes. My dick.
Yes.
My dick.
Slapping the bass.
Oh, yeah. No, I had that line as well. Oh. I think that was my favorite line as well.
So many. But no, I knew the tone was set at the beginning when it's like, well, he may be obnoxious and annoying, but he knows how people want to see people fuck. And you know what? He does. And so does James Dean. He knows how people want to see people fuck.
He knows what people want to see. Any other quotes?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right. Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc. I thought this was a pretty cool Santa outfit.
Yeah, I liked it. It's not a generic one. That's pretty cool.
A long, like, hooded robe or like coat.
Closer to like a European Santa.
Yep. And then has like bells. I was hoping there would be more with the bells. Like, you'd get someone hiding and you could hear him like stomping around and the bells ringing. Like, I thought that would be really cool. We didn't get a whole lot of that, but it was a really cool look. Some solid porno names in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But none are better than Attila the Hung.
Yes. Attila the Hung, my favorite character, of course.
And some real solid gore.
Yes, the effects were surprisingly good. I was pleasantly surprised, especially like that face peeling effect from the boiling water. I thought that was really cool.
I thought that looked so good.
The severed head from the first kill with the snow shovel. I thought that was really well done.
And the shotgun blast, yes, to Johnny's head, yes, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
I was not expecting it. It's probably going to be cheap CGI gore. Like,
which,
a lot of these
which
movies.
There was, yes, for the,
I mean, like the punching through the head one and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like the rest, like I think the one big piece of CGI gore and maybe some CGI blood was sprinkled throughout the movie, but the one big piece was the
when he crushes
Ken's head. But otherwise, all looked like pretty good practical effects.
I liked
it. I loved the overuse of blood, just spraying blood on things was great. I loved that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do something goofy and fun, you might as well go all out.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's have fun here.
Do you have any others?
I thought the house, the way they had it set up, especially with the multiple basements, it was very, I thought it was very true to like a porno set, kind of like the most generic furniture and generic backgrounds for everything.
Well, they said something too about how like they got the house because it was free.
Yes, it's free.
Yeah. Because it's going to be like sold tomorrow.
That's Johnny's favorite word, free.
And so like, obviously it was just a staged house.
Yeah.
Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
Surprisingly Christmassy kills, and pretty high overall Christmas spirit, I would say.
I was gonna say both pretty high. For a low budget movie to have Christmas decor in every single scene, is really impressive. And you
tons
know,
tons of Christmas music. Christmas referenced a lot throughout the story.
Yeah, they had great like sound drops where like the Christmas music comes back in. It's Santa Claus murdering people. Like, that's going to be pretty
high. We got some Christmas light strangling. You know, we got all kinds of stuff. We got some candy cane stabbings. I mean, we got all kinds of stuff in this movie.
Which I think you and I have said before, like a giant candy cane as a weapon and killing people with Christmas lights are two of our favorite, kills.
And I mean, the Christmas puns, especially the every time you kill a whore, an angel gets their wings line. I was like, perfect.
No, the Santa puns were so good. That leads us, I guess, to broken bulb, brilliant bulb. Jeff, one thing you want to fix and one thing you want to praise.
One thing I want to fix? Get Attila the Hung in there earlier, Jay. I want to see what he and Lana are going to be up to on this set. They just got there, and then they got immediately killed. I think a little bit more runtime, which, you know, I usually don't say for these kind of movies, but this was about 71 minutes. I think this probably could have been a 90-minute movie. Use those extra 19 minutes to flesh out some of these characters a little bit more.
There's a couple things that don't make a whole lot of sense, and I would have liked more.
I would have liked some more backstory, and so see some more scenes of them interacting off the porno set or whatever. Because they do a pretty decent job of making. Because you can tell, like, some people have tension with other people. You know, and Mamba doesn't even really want to be there. You know, people feel guilty about missing their families on Christmas. A little bit more of that kind of stuff, I think, could have. And I mean, of course, we would have had more time for Attila the Hung and more time for Santa.
Yep. I said to you off air, the first time I watched it, when I was watching it back for notes, I was like, Attila and Lana have to be showing up like any minute now. And, you know, they don't show up till like almost an hour into the movie.
Yeah, they're barely there.
And they're barely, maybe like 50 minutes. And then Attila gets killed almost right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana only lasts till probably about an hour mark. Yeah. It's like, you got Felissa Rose in your movie, which maybe she's busy doing other stuff and just showed up for one day. But it's like, put more Felissa Rose in your movie. For mine, you know, listeners of this podcast know, you know, we're real bad about sound editing and mixing and whatnot, but the sound and audio mixing was real rough.
Morning sound mixer.
The actors often sounded really 80 yard in. Sometimes their lips didn't match what they were saying at all. What do you mean, Jay? And one or two times, it was just impossible to hear what people were saying. Which, you know, I understand it's a low budget movie. I understand the constraints. But yeah, I think that was the roughest part of the movie for me.
And it's sad because some of the stuff they're saying in the background is hilarious.
Yep.
Like the, oh, Jackrabbit. Are you talking to me?
But brilliant bulb, Jeff. Thing you want to praise.
Thing I want to praise. Thank you for actually delivering on your premise. We have a legitimate porn set, porn actors, nudity, Jay, not just bikinis like Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
True.
We have full nudity in here. We got all kinds of references to other Christmas things and references to the porn industry. I know that he was doing it on purpose because he acts fine in other parts of the movie, but there's certain points where Mamba's on set and delivers things in that flat porn dialogue that everybody knows, the porn exposition before something happens. I love that. I love the fact that this was exactly what they promised us, which we so rarely get in these movies, especially the lower budget ones.
Yep.
It's just like, oh yeah, cool premise, cool cover, and then the movie has absolutely nothing to do with it. This is a triple Xmas, Jay.
Agreed. I completely agree with you there. My praise, my brilliant bulb, the camera work. There were some really fun transitions.
Yeah.
Some excellent shots during the porno montage. And at times did a really great job hiding things you shouldn't see. Fake snow in the air on vehicles, but you can't see that the ground has nothing on it because I think this was filmed in spring or summer. The one glaring exception being that it was obviously incredibly sunny in daytime when the three survivors leave at the end of the movie. Yeah. And the rest of the movie, you know, there had been snowing, and then they drive out, and all the, it looks like a sunny spring or summer day. One exception.
Unless you're a big budget studio, filming in the Midwest in the winter is probably not a good idea.
But yeah, other than that, I loved the camera work. I thought they did a fantastic job.
I agree. This movie definitely punches above its weight. Technical skill and in writing, I think. It didn't have to be this good.
No, I agree. Which I guess leads us to our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-ho hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry, whatever those things mean? Jeff, take us away.
This is the quintessential ho-ho-ho hilarious movie. It is a parody of Killer Santa movies. It's a parody of pornos. It's got snappy dialogue. It's got clever writing. It's got good effects. They didn't skimp on the horror elements of the horror parody, which a lot of parodies do.
That elf was incredibly creepy. There
is an actual scary character. I mean, Santa's kind of scary, too, the way he just switches on and off from being a psycho to just staring blankly at the wall. I thought his performance was really good. No, I mean, I think this is what Ho Ho Hilarious was created for as a category.
No, your take that like a vampire has to count things.
He has to eat the cookies if you put them in front of him.
He hears the cookies and has to eat them.
Yes. It's just, they did a great job. Everybody involved, I think, did a really good job. And I think that this is like, if we're ranking them within the category, this is, I think, a top tier Ho Ho Hilarious movie.
This movie had some glaring issues with some of the acting, the sound work, and the characters just running into the house after the killing starts for no reason. Also, you know, the mysterious water that was just boiling on the stovetop. But at the end of the day, this is a ho-ho-ho hilarious.
That was for the cooking scene that was going to come later in the porno, Jay. I know that.
It gave me exactly what it said on the tin, a gory movie about Santa killing people on a porno shoot with some fun comedy mixed in. I think this is worth your time to watch. You know, of course, after you put the kids to bed. This is shit. We should have done this at the top of the episode. This is Horror for the Holidays.
After dark.
But yeah, this is this is worth watching. This is worth your time. Check it out. It's a silly, fun, good time.
Yes.
But Jeff, did you start to think that we're getting clothes for Christmas?
No, I'd never think that because we're the only critics who matter, Jay. I keep trying to tell you this.
But yeah, got some reviews from other people online who think they know better than us.
Yeah, they would think that, wouldn't they? I got news for you. They don't.
All right, I've got two.
Let me see here. I think I pulled three.
All right. If you want to go, yeah, we can do you.
All right. Let me pull it up. You know, surprisingly, for a movie with this kind of provocative title, not a lot of reviews I could find online.
No, it was tough finding reviews.
I kind of had to troll some of the forums and stuff that I don't usually dare to venture into because I can't stand to listen to people fucking write about movies. You know, Jay, they never told me that doing a movie podcast would make me hate fucking movies. But here we are. All right, here we go. 1 out of 10. Santa should have stayed at the North Pole.
Whoa.
Oh, God, you're so clever.
Zing.
I expected a trashy Christmas slasher. What I got was 72 minutes of people yelling, cheap blood, and Santa delivering one-liners that sound like they were rejected from the novelty t-shirt company. By the end, I was rooting for the cookies. What?
Man, what does that mean?
The fuck does that even mean? And what the fuck? Who let this man get an account on the internet to rate things?
1 out of 10. This goes to show how much difference a director can make. This film stars a lot of the same people that are in Murder Size, so I figured it would be worth a shot. Sadly, the acting is so bad that if you speed up the film to 1.2 speed, which I've never heard of doing 1.2, but sure, most of the cast will start sounding human again. Otherwise, lines come off as stilted and poorly timed with huge gaps between lines.
Oh my god.
As if the actors and actresses are being prodded into their lines by someone off camera.
It's almost like they're delivering porn dialogue or something, Jay. I can't believe it.
I have to assume that the director just let all the poor timing be filmed, and then the editor had no choice but to keep the slow pacing because the film barely cracks the hour mark as it is. So if you cut anything, you'll be left with a film that is too short for American standards. I love bad movies, low-budget movies, but I hated this. Drew Marvick was great in Murder Size, 7 out of 10 stars for me. Who gives a shit what your other review was? And he comes off pretty well here, but this character just doesn't afford much acting, just laughing and killing. And why wasn't his laugh a variant on Ho Ho Ho? It was. It absolutely fucking was. He goes, ha ha ha, ho ho ho. Yes, he fucking does that.
He does.
Seemed like the laugh was teed up for this role. The Uber scene was one of the hardest parts to watch, but the party wasn't much better. Good luck. Disagree. I enjoyed the guy in the Uber. I didn't care for Ken Falcone. Like, I didn't care for his character. I thought the Uber driver was fucking hilarious. I loved him trying to, like, after he's like, I'm gonna clap that chocolate cake. And then, like, the Uber driver's like, nice. And then Ken just glares at him. I thought, man, that was fucking hilarious.
My face when my Uber driver tries to talk to me.
All right, that was that one.
There are bad movies. There are cheap movies, and then there's Triple Xmas. 1 star. 0 stars if I could, because you know we got to find one of those.
Who's stopping you from leaving a 0-star review?
I don't know. There are movies made with so little money that every location looks borrowed, every prop looks recently removed from the package, and every actor appears to be silently praying that nobody they went to high school with ever discovers their IMDb page. And then there is Triple Xmas, a movie so aggressively committed to being trash that calling it trash almost seems unfair to trash. Trash can be recycled. Trash can be burned for energy.
Trash can be turned into a zombie and dance naked in a graveyard. Wait, flip the dance naked in a graveyard and then get turned into a zombie.
Oh, God. No, I just have to remind me of that. Trash occasionally contains something useful that somebody accidentally threw away. Triple Xmas just sits there festering, wearing a Santa hat. This is a premise that should be foolproof, but guess what? They fuck it up. A homicidal Santa gets offended. He doesn't get offended. His wife cheats on him with a porno producer.
Oh, I'm sick of these snowflakes getting offended by their wives cheating on them with porno producers.
And apparently he's accompanied by an elf who wandered in from a completely different, equally terrible horror movie. That's it. That's the movie. You know what? I wanted more sex and sleaze. I wanted more Christmas iconography. How about a killer Santa we could enjoy or some practical gore? This premise was begging for outrageous death scenes and offensive one-liners. Did he watch the fucking right movie,
yeah,
Jay?
We got all of those things.
I'm beginning to think this guy did not watch the right movie. And maybe he watched an actual porno. Because there's some Triple Xmas actual porno.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This should be the cinematic equivalent of drinking cheap whiskey out of a plastic Santa boot on Christmas Eve. But guess what? It's trash, and it will always be trash. Well, sir, you are trash. Yep. So there you go.
Well, Jeff, to follow up the trash, 1 out of 10, utter garbage.
Oh, boy. We've gone from trash to garbage.
Without ever having heard about this 2023 horror movie prior to sitting down to watch it, and thus not knowing what I was in for, their mere fact that it was a horror movie that I hadn't already seen was more than sufficient for me to give this movie a gander. Okay, Grandpa. Oh, let me give it a gander.
I'll give these titties a gander, I think.
Writer James Dean and Luis Otero put together a script and storyline that utterly failed to entertain me. I tossed the towel in the ring after a mere 20 minutes of this garbage. Didn't even finish the fucking movie. Didn't even make it halfway
through.
Didn't
even see the best parts.
It was clear then that this movie was not going to improve, and the pointless lewd scenes certainly didn't count as entertainment for me.
It's a porno.
But then again, the title sort of does hint at what to expect.
It doesn't hint. It flashes it in a bright fucking neon sign.
There were two familiar faces in the cast list for me. Yeah, I've seen more than my share of questionable low-budget horror movies to actually be familiar with Felissa Rose, which, one, she's in fucking Sleepaway Camp and Terrifier 2 and the Rob Zombie Halloweens. You don't have to know her from low-budget stuff.
Yeah.
And Jessa Jupiter Flux. The acting performances in this movie were fair enough from the title I managed to see. From the little I managed to see. That's my bad. So you didn't even see Felissa Rose show up in the fucking movie.
Oof.
She did great, but I didn't actually see the movie. This is without a doubt not a movie that I would recommend anyone wasting 72 minutes on watching, nor is it a movie that will ever grace my screen a second time. Well, it didn't even grace your screen the first time because you switched it off.
Honestly, if you didn't watch the entire movie, you should be disqualified from reviewing it.
Because I am not ever going to attempt to finish watching this garbage. My rating for director James Dean's 2023 movie lands on a generous 1 out of 10 stars.
Yeah, you know what? That's all great and all, but if you didn't finish the movie, then why are you rating it?
Yep. Yeah, you. I'm sorry. You're. I understand wanting to switch a movie off because it's bad.
No, if you want your opinion on a movie to matter, then you need to have watched the whole thing.
Yep, and you did not. So,
there you go.
Go fuck yourself.
Triple Xmas. Ho ho! Holy shit! This is bad.
That's our thing.
Triple Xmas is the kind of movie that sounds like a dare nobody had the courage to stop. A porn crew, a homicidal Santa, a cannibal elf, Felissa Rose. This setup should practically direct itself. Okay? Instead, Triple Xmas takes a premise overflowing with sleazy, bloody potential and somehow turns it into a tedious parade of limp jokes, bargain bin production, and characters who feel like they were written 5 minutes before the camera started rolling. The biggest problem that this movie has is it thinks it's aware that it's being stupid, somehow excuses it being stupid. Yeah, that's called a parody. It doesn't. There's a huge difference between intentional camp and simply making something bad while winking at the audience. There's a huge difference with Triple Xmas. It spends most of its runtime elbowing you in the ribs like an obnoxious drunk uncle at a Christmas party. Get it? Santa's in here. Get it? It's porn. Funny, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, we get it. We got it 20 minutes ago. Please stop. No, please keep going, is what I said.
More, please.
Please keep going. I haven't finished yet. Drew Mavericks. Oh, here we go. He's Killer Santa's the least energetic Santa I've ever seen. Have you watched many Killer Santa movies? Because I can think of several Killer Santas who do way less than this one.
It feels like Drew is really channeling his inner Eric Freeman.
Yes.
He feels very Ricky in Silent Night, Deadly Night, too.
Every murder has to come with a joke. It's almost like it's a fucking parody.
Boy, never show this guy one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Every joke sounds like something somebody scribbled on a cocktail napkin after 4 eggnogs.
Oh!
But by the halfway point, Santa isn't even terrifying anymore. He's just a mall Santa who's discovered open mic comedy. And then there's that goddamn elf. In theory, he sounds amazing. In practice, he looks like somebody came out, came up the hallway halfway through filming and they just left him in. Characters deliver lines like they're reading them off a cue card taped to the camera. Oh my god, it's almost like it's a fucking porno! It's a parody of a porno! Where the lines are terrible. Oh my god, whatever. I don't know why I expected these internet morons to understand anything. Conversations drag and jokes dies on impact. Yes, there's blood. Yes, there are kills. Yes, there's some great practical effects. And yes, some of the comedy lands. So then why is this a 1 out of 10? And what makes it worse is that the movie is barely over an hour long and still feels padded. Hard disagree. I thought it was too short.
I know. I thought I could have done it with a bit more.
It is frequently boring and not even close to delivering on the premise.
It does exactly what it says on the fucking tin.
Literally exactly what it says it's going to do. It's a lump of cinematic coal that somehow makes Cole look ambitious. Okay, Shakespeare, calm down. You're starting to lose me with these things. Anyway, once again, another moron on the internet has no idea what they're talking about.
All right, well, Jeff, let's take our Killer Santa and put him on our naughty list.
I mean, during the time During Christmas Eve to Christmas morning, when he loses his powers, he's invincible. So I'd say pretty strong.
That's the thing. I was prepared to put a Santa that gets shot, stabbed, and ran through with a candy cane pretty high. But then, you know, like you said, it becomes Christmas morning and he loses his powers and gets beaten up by two girls with their bare hands. So now I'm not exactly sure where to put him.
I mean, it really depends on, is he fighting somebody during Christmas Eve? Because if he is, then he wins. If he's not, then he loses easily.
That's the thing. I don't know where to put him.
Pretty much, I think we have to take him at his actual height of his power level, because, I mean, that's what we do for the others. So
I then probably below Krampus.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a little bit below Krampus.
Michael Doherty's Krampus.
Yeah, he's not like an apocalypse level threat like some of those other ones we've got.
What do you think, Terminator Santa and the Dark Angel?
I
come in peace.
Yes. Honestly, I think he slots right in there between them. I think I come in peace, Alien could probably take him down. I think he'd probably fight Terminator Santa to a standstill. So I think they're all pretty even. All
right. I was going to say, if we take him at the full power but then loses his power, maybe just below Ricky.
Yeah.
Because, like, no. Ricky can run somebody through with an umbrella.
I think Ricky could take him if he doesn't have his powers, for sure. I mean, I think Brooklyn Santa could probably take him without his powers.
True, you're right, man. There's a good chance. All right, well, that's where you're going.
Maybe even Triple X Terrence Santa. Shade might be able to. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if we could go that low. Also, well,
if he hallucinates, it's his children.
True, yeah, he'll murder those. He'll murder Santa with his bare hands. Yeah. What have I done?
Of course, I mean, one quick note, he obviously lived through whatever they did to him.
So yep.
Maybe he must be like the American Dad Santa, where you can destroy him after Christmas Eve or whatever, but he just comes back next year.
Yeah, James Dean.
Yes.
Triple Xmas 2, win.
Oh, definitely need Triple Xmas 2. You know what? Reach out to us, James. I have some money that's burning a hole in my pocket. Let's get this thing going.
But yeah, anyway, Jeff, you know what? You've been regretting this day. It's time for this.
I have. Oh yes, I have.
Garbage day.
Huh? No.
I mean, I regret it many days, Jay. You're gonna have to be more specific. Oh my fucking god! You do not have more fucking Oreos.
We got limited edition cinnamon bun Oreos.
Oh boy.
We've got limited edition BTS Oreos.
Oh my god. Korean pop Oreos, Jay.
And to round it out, we've got pickle flavored Oreos.
I'm not doing it. I refuse.
I'm on strike. You know what?
Much like the elves in this movie, Jay, I am going to unionize against you.
Solidarity forever. But to wash it down, because it is the summer of soda still. We got limited edition Crush Back to the 90s Big Troppa Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Oh, yeah. Big Troppa Punch. Reminds me of a Kool-Aid flavor.
It does. It does sound like a Kool-Aid flavor.
You know what? I may have spoken too soon. These BTS Oreos smell pretty good.
They look fantastic. Brown sugar pancake.
No, they smell them. They smell exactly like a pancake.
I don't know why they're purple. Maybe BTS is purple.
That must be a thing for them. I don't know. I don't follow the music anymore, Jay. I'm an old man. The newest artist I follow started in 2012.
Mm-mm.
No. God damn you. Oh, come the fuck on.
I have heard that these are better than the Thanksgiving ones.
Well, they would almost fucking have to be better than the Thanksgiving ones. I mean, come on. Those were actual... I think that fucking turkey one was actual poison. I tasted that shit for days afterwards. And the creamed corn one? My God. Oh. God.
Jeff, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I bet it is. It smells like, literally smells like the inside of a pickle jar. Oh, God.
Do we want to do that first, since it's obviously going
to
be the worst
thing? Yeah, because we're going to have to cleanse our palates for like 5 minutes probably before we can even taste anything else. Let's try this first.
Big drop of punch.
Big drop of punch going in.
Big pop of punch.
Hey, that's good. I like that. You know what? People are right, Jay. The 90s were better.
You know what, Jeff? They say all limited edition crush back to the 90s are created equal. But you look at Big Drop of Punch and you did look at whatever we did last year, and you know that that's not true.
That's right. This crush here, Jay, it has 66 2/3% chance of winning.
Mountain Dew knows that it can't. Whatever the fucking trolley Mountain Dew they're going to do this year knows it can't beat Limited Crush back to the 90s.
And it's not even going to try.
It's not even going to try.
So we take its 33 1/3% chance and add to my 66 2/3% chance. That gives me 122% chance of winning.
Percents
at Sacrifice.
The numbers don't lie. They spell disaster for you at Sacrifice. Also, Scott Steiner's son is signed to the New Orleans Saints.
Oh yeah.
I signed him to my fantasy league just for the chance, even though he's banned for 6 games, probably won't even play a game in the NFL, will probably move straight to the WWE. I signed him just to change his nickname to Little Papa Pump.
Yes.
Sorry, the Big Bad Booty Son.
Yes. You've done a good thing, Jay.
He's got freaks 8 days out of the week. Mm-hmm. You know there's only 7 days in a week, right? I need you to understand that. Man, you ain't the Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Yeah. Things are different.
God, I fucking love Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner lives in another world that we can only aspire to, Jay.
My friend was like the greatest, showed me this thing where they were like, what's the greatest wrestling promo of all time? And it was one guy was like, oh, it's the CM Punk pipe bomb. And then the other guy went, okay, but it's actually Steiner math.
Yes.
And the guy's like, what do you mean it's Steiner math? And he's like, literally, the Steiner math transcends wrestling.
Yes, people have no idea who the hell Scott Steiner even is know what Scott Steiner math yeah. is.
It's like this is like the best promo ever made. And so apparently they did a vote, and the first time, like, I think Steiner Math barely won, and the guy like threw a fit that Steiner Math barely won. He's like, no, we need to do it again, and you know, nobody treat this like a joke. So the next time it won by even more.
Yeah. Oh, we're taking this seriously? Well, then it's definitely Steiner Math.
All right, well, enough stalling. Bottoms up.
You bastard.
You know what? It's not as bad.
No.
I don't like the fudge-covered Oreos.
I don't like it, but it's not as bad.
It's just that hint of... You get that kind of salty pickle hint at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder what, like, a salty... Like an Oreo with like some salt, like a salty sweet Oreo would taste like.
I think they've done salted caramel ones that were pretty good.
Yeah, like it's similar to that with a little bit more Oreo.
It's got a little dill picker. Yeah, it's not.
Don't like that fudge.
It's not great, but nowhere near as bad as the Thanksgiving ones. Those are like on another level of terrible.
Cleanse my palate with some Big Papa Punch.
Oh yeah, that's what we need.
Sorry, Big Troppa Punch. All right. What do you think? Cinnamon roll first?
A cinnamon roll.
Smells like a cinnamon roll?
It does. It does. Yeah. Tastes like a cinnamon roll.
No, I think that's pretty good.
It's definitely distinct from the churro one, so that's good.
I will say it's not like in your face.
Mm-mm. No, I think the churro one was definitely more front-loaded with the cinnamon flavor. This one's more mild.
No, I agree. Not bad, though.
I like it. And now we have, of course, the BTS purple-flavored Oreo.
Well, get over here, Big Troppa Punch. I gotta cleanse my palate.
Got a palate cleanse with some Big Troppa Punch.
Man, I've wrestled a lot of countries in my day, and America's the greatest.
You know, and if anybody could,
it'd be him. It'd be Scott Steiner. Holla if you hear me. All right, let's do it.
All right, we're going in for pancakes, ladies and gentlemen. It's definitely a white Oreo dyed purple. That does taste disturbingly similar to like a pancake or a French toast stick.
Has some nice maple flavor there.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of like buttery flavor too. Pretty good.
I think that one's my favorite of the Oreos for today.
Oh yeah.
And do we really need to rank it? No. At the bottom is dill pickle.
Bottom of the barrel.
And then cinnamon roll, and then at the top is BTS maple
purple
pancake.
Flavor.
Yeah, purple BTS. The purple boys.
This is what BTS tastes like.
The next time someone brings up BTS, I'm going to be like, the famous Purple Boys?
Who was the last person we tasted, Jay? Some woman.
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande's Oreos. We figured out what she tasted like. Now we know what BTS tastes like.
Yeah, I think, you know what, Ariana, I think BTS tastes better than you.
Yeah. I think you're right, Jay.
Yeah. So take that. All right. Now I'll get a little bit more Big Tropa Punch.
Oh, yeah. Big drop of punch, the real star of the show today.
Man, I wish I had a third Scott Steiner quote in the chamber that I could that I could say. I do think one time on Nitro he did just say, "You know what? Fuck Ric Flair."
Yeah.
So
you know what? Fuck Ric Flair.
Yeah. So you know what? There we go. I was like, man, I should have a third one in the chamber to drop when I take another sip.
That's good. That's good stuff. Good Scott Steiner. Good all around. I like it.
All right. But yeah, this man, fucking yeah. Go get Limited Crush Back to the 90s. Big Tropa Punch.
It's definitely going to be better than whatever bullshit Mountain Dew is doing.
You know what? Send us an email or title it "Holla if you hear me." If you want to talk about Crush Back to the 90s, Big Tropa Punch.
You know what, Jay? We're going to have to see how Big Tropa Punch stacks up against this ghost-faced Fanta.
I'm excited for that. But yeah, get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places. We're at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Like I said, title your email, "Holla if you hear me," if you want to talk about this episode, Triple Xmas.
Indeed.
Or any of these bad Oreos or Big Tropa Punch.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all your audio backup needs. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the bell. Follow us on all the podcatchers. We're on all of them. Leave us reviews. Make it a 5-star review. Those are the only ones we read. Title it 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko who actually listens to the show, especially if you're, say, a marketing person trying to get in contact with the show and sending us emails. Maybe leave a review and we get back to you. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
And also, if anybody knows what, if anybody has any theories on who tastes better between Ariana Grande and BTS, let us know.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Hashtag, taste battle. And either put BTS or, Ariana Grande. You know what? Christmas Podcast Network has a show called Holidays After Dark, but I don't think they ever thought they'd get Horror for the Holidays After Dark.
No.
But yeah, go check them out. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. After this episode, this may be the last time we're ever part of the Christmas Podcast Network.
This could be the end. And so I just want to say shout out to Jerry D for supplying us with all of our good cocaine. Thank you, sir.
But yeah, check him out. All sorts of great podcasts.
He's from the party decade. What do you want?
Yeah, he's from the... Jerry D probably knows about the cocaine.
Most definitely.
Oh, man. If this doesn't get us kicked off, it might also get us sued for implying that Jerry D does coke.
I don't think that would hurt Jerry D's image. It has to be defamatory and hurt his image.
Yeah, not make
him
sound
cooler. Exactly.
But yeah, all sorts of great podcasts over there. Like I said, we're happy to have them, but after Triple Xmas, who knows?
You know what? I'm going to say this one's... If they let us get on there, Jay, on a live stream and blood beat off all over their platform, I think they'll let us do this.
But yeah, otherwise, we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. And then we'll be back again with another Christmas horror movie in 2 weeks.
And don't think we've fucking forgotten you, Matthew Broderick. We still remember what you did.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's a... What, this Tuesday, there's going to be Hello Kitty ex-Godzilla mashup at McDonald's. Yep. And you know whose Godzilla isn't there? The one Matthew Broderick ran over with his car.
That's right.
In Ireland.
What a shame.
R.I.P. that Godzilla. Because of Matthew Broderick.
Poor Godzilla 1998, cut down in his prime by a drunk driving Matthew Broderick on the wrong side of the road.
I wonder if there's more movies we can imply that Matthew Broderick just showed up drunk.
I had to look up a list of his movies, yeah, and figure out some.
Do you think he was drunk driving the car from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ooh, that's very possible. That's very possible.
And that's why Alan Ruck was so mad, was because...
I think you're on to something.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. Thanks for listening.
All right, audience, whatever you want. Guess it's time for me to fuck you with my dick.
Bye. Oh, shit. We had a perfect chance to be like, and then he takes off her bra.
Take off your bra.